The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Of all of the writings of the Apostle Paul, which one could be classified really as a thank you note to a church? Well, the answer is the book of Philippians. And with that, this is Alex McFarland welcoming you to today's edition of Exploring the Word. With me is Jim Stanley, and we're going to be looking at the New Testament book of Philippians today. And we welcome you back. And my dear brother Jim, it's good to be back after our Christmas vacation, isn't it?
It is. And I have to tell you, you know, you guys have... We've played a couple of series from you guys, and Brother Bert's not back yet. He still had a few vacation days left, and so he's spending those with grandchildren and with family. And I tell you, I kind of envy the grandchildren. I'm getting to that age where I freely admit I'm old enough to have them. But he's a great guy, and it's my privilege to be in for him, and it's my privilege to be here with you as well, sir.
Well, I trust you and the Stanley family had a good Christmas together.
We did, and you and Angie, I hope, did the same.
We did. I preached in a few places, and we saw lots of family, and it was a blessing. You know, December started out really, really, really cold, and I was kind of in hopes we might have a white Christmas, but by the time Christmas got here, it was almost spring-like. But the best part of all, not only to be with family and loved ones, but to celebrate the greatest news of all, for unto you is born this day a Savior. And you know, Jim, I tell you, we did a lot of preaching and teaching about Christmas prior to December 25th, but it is the greatest story ever told, isn't it?
It is, and it's the story that brings us hope. It reminds us that even though the situations around us may be hopeless, our country may look like it's at its tattered edges, we have a hope that goes beyond that, because while this is our current home, it's not our forever home.
Yeah. Well, you know, the book of Philippians, and what we're going to do, folks, today, Jim Stanley and I, we're going to look at Philippians 3. Tomorrow, we're going to look at Philippians chapter 4.
No.
What's that?
We're going to look at chapter 2 today and chapter 3 tomorrow.
Okay.
Or did I say that wrong? Oh, well, I'm getting a nod from our producer that says I sent the email the wrong way.
Okay. Well,
so we're going to do whatever you want to do, brother.
Well, it's got four chapters.
It
and
does.
I know we had talked about looking at 3 and 4, and then Friday we'll do a Fire Away Friday.
Right.
But, you know, folks, the book of Philippians exudes hope. I mean, it really does. Now, I think this is just wonderful. The words joy or rejoice appear more than a dozen times in this book. And so Paul has written this thank you letter, really, to the church at Philippi. They had supported him, even though he had had so many different, you know, tribulations, persecutions. In fact, you know, he writes this from a jail cell. Here's a guy that really suffered more for the gospel than any of us ever will, and yet the theme of hope and joy and all that we have in Christ so permeates all that he has to say.
Amen. And Alex, I may throw a little curveball here,
okay,
but one of the things I wanted to do is you had an excellent article that came out, I think, last week, maybe week before, and part of it dwelt with the birth of Christ, but not just that, it went beyond the cradle. It went beyond the trough, and it spoke to the cross. And part of that, you took some scriptures from Philippians 2. And so I apologize for the confusion on my part. But I did want to just share this one snippet, and then we'll move on to chapter 3. Because what you talked about in your article, if I remember correctly, you came back and you looked at the birth of Christ through Luke, and then also through some of this text, where it says, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which was above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so when we look at that, so often this only gets taught around Easter, and we forget that the beauty of this thing begins in the manger.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that while we celebrated Christmas last year, or pardon me, last week, with the birth of Christ and everything centered there, we often forget that the babe in the manger grew up to be the Christ of the cross.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, think about the power of God. We talk about God's sovereignty, that God is in control, and he is, my friend. Think about this. Sin is going to be paid for, the minions of Satan vanquished by a baby.
Mm.
Isn't that awesome?
It really is.
And yet, God is big enough to fill the universe, small enough to lay in a manger, personal enough to be in your heart. And so that's why, I just think that Christmas and the story of our Lord is just captivating. And it's not trite and it's not glib when we say it is the greatest story ever told. And friend, it's reality. You know, you were talking about Philippians chapter 2, how Jesus, the very nature of God, the essence of God, and yet he humbled himself. I love 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. It says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich." There's a scholar, J.I. Packer. Some of the listeners no doubt have heard of J.I. Packer. But he said, you know, anybody could think of a way where good men could go to heaven, but only God could think of a plan whereby fallen, lost sinners could go to heaven. And God does this without compromising his holiness or his word. And so it's fascinating that 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9 that I quoted, it's saying, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus. It's really saying, look, remember the grace. Think about, reflect, and internalize this precious reality that though he was rich, for our sakes, he became poor to give us a home in heaven one day, and we praise him for it.
Amen. Alex, as we're going through that, and you and I do this, Bert and I do this from time to time, as we think about that, if we have someone right now that has stumbled across the dial and you're hearing this good news and you want to know more about this Christ, you want to know more about what it means for someone to have paid the price for your sin and my sin, then what we need to do, what we'd like you to do is call 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. And you can also find a lot of answers to some of your questions at Alex's website, alexmcfarland.com. That's alexmcfarland.com. But Alex, would you give us a quick, not overly quick, don't misunderstand what I'm saying there, because I don't want to slight it, but the ABCs of being saved, what that means.
Wow. Thanks, Jim. Folks, listen very carefully. If you've never put your faith in Christ and you said, you know, if I were to die today, I don't know if I'm ready, you know, here's how you can be ready. Listen, in the next 2 minutes, you can make sure that you have Christ in your heart. ABC, admit, believe, and call on his name. Okay, you admit that you're a sinner, that we, in our heart, we know we've done wrong. We've known the right, but we've done the wrong. There is a God, and we've disobeyed him. That's admitting. And then believe. Okay, what do you believe? Well, for one thing, believe that Jesus Christ was not just a famous person, but he really is the Son of God. He wasn't just a wise teacher, although he was wise and he did teach, but he was more than that. He was the Son of God. And when he was nailed to a cross, here's what happened. The punishment that you and I deserved was put on Christ. So here's the deal. You could pay for your own sin. But see, that would be separation from God. That would be sadness. That would be lostness. Or you can accept, now very carefully listen, you say, Lord Jesus, I admit you went to that cross for me. And Lord, I don't want to be unsaved. I don't want to die and go to hell. I accept that you suffered on the cross for me. So you admit you're a sinner. You believe in who Christ is. You believe in what he did. And then see, you call on his name. Now, friend, I could give you a whole bunch of scriptures, but in multiple places, the Bible promises, the Word of God promises that if you'll call on Christ, he will forgive you. So I want you to do that right now. And you could just pray something like this from your heart to God. He's promised to hear you. You say, Lord Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. And I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And I believe that he loves me. And I believe he died on the cross and paid for my sins. Lord, I accept what you did as my payment. And I'm asking you to forgive me. I receive you into my life. And I ask that you would save me and help me to follow you from this day forward in Jesus' name. Mm. Now, friends, and Jim, you and I know this. For me, I was 21 when I prayed that prayer. But if you prayed, wherever you are in North America listening right now, and you prayed, you just, for as sincerely as you knew how, you said, Lord Jesus, please forgive me. The Word of God promises that he heard you and he washed your sins away. And so we want you to call that number because, you know, we just want you to know about what it means to walk with the Lord and he'll be with you. So, Jim, give that number again.
It's 888-NEED-HIM. 888-NEED-HIM. And, folks, there are people there that are waiting to pray with you, that are waiting to give you more information on what it means to be a follower of Christ and what it means to be, quote-unquote, born again. You know, Alex, especially in this show sometimes, we get caught up in our religious terms and our religious vocabulary that we forget. Some folks may not understand what all of that means when we talk about justification, when we talk about sanctification, when we talk about salvation, when we talk about eternal life, when we make references to those things. And so, folks, this is the beginning step. If you have just accepted Christ as Savior, visit 888-NEED-HIM. Call 888-NEED-HIM, and there'll be some folks there to talk to you. And I would encourage you again to visit Alex McFarland's website. He's got some great resources there at alexmcfarland.com. Alex, as we're moving towards a break here in a moment, we do want to get to Chapter 3 in Philippians. And folks, if you're with us this afternoon, we appreciate your being here. We're going to be taking your phone calls here in just a little bit, and we don't want you to call just yet. We don't want you to be on hold that long, but be sure and stick around for a little bit because we will be taking some of your Bible questions today on Philippians 3. Jim Stanley with Dr. Alex McFarland and you on Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Oops, there's a piece I missed a little bit.
Grandpa, why do we always pick up litter when we go hiking?
Well, we're just making it nicer for people who come after us a little bit. It's called stewardship.
My grandfather taught me that you should always leave a place better than you found it. That it's important to invest in the lives of your children and grandchildren, leaving them with a godly legacy they can build on. That's why I decided to set up a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation.
It's called stewardship.
I know that my gift will support a ministry that honors the biblical principles I hold dear, and it's a way to invest in the future of our country. The AFA Foundation also arranged for me to have a steady fixed income, so I don't have to worry in the midst of changing times.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Dr. Tony Evans says God makes our lives more beautiful, not only by what He brings into them, but by what He chisels out of them. He'll talk about that process today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Everybody in my family will remember September 1st, 2013, and that's where my granddaughter was surprised with an engagement ring from her boyfriend. But the ring on her finger purchased from the store didn't start there looking good. That was dug up from the ground, and it was dirty. It had value, but the value was not now realized. It had to go through a process before it ever wound up on a finger. It had to go through some chipping and chiseling and cutting and shining and all of this before it wound up on the destiny of a finger. I know many of us have dreams of shiny lives and gold lives and magnificent lives, but God says, I can't put you into my store until I clean you up first. I cannot give you your destiny if you will not allow me to shape your character. I can't give you your destiny if you do not allow me to deal with your sins. I cannot give you your destiny if you don't allow me to promote your righteousness. I can't give you your destiny if you don't allow me to mature you. So therefore, in order to give you your destiny, I've got to detour you first. You don't go from the ground to the store. You go through a process first of detour. And that means things may get worse before they get better.
Learn more about surviving and even thriving through the tough times in life. Check out Dr. Evans' teaching series, Living Above the Circumstances, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. After our prayer and asking folks about if they would like to accept Christ, that just seemed a fitting song to come back with. And that was Phillips, Craig, and Dean singing the song written by Keith and Kristen Getty and Stuart Townend called In Christ Alone. I'm Jim Stanley here with Alex McFarland. And Alex, in addition to what you do with AFR, in addition to being a prolific writer, which you are also an evangelist. If I wanted you to come to my church, what would I do?
Well, God bless you, Jim, and thanks for asking. Yeah, just call me or go to my website, alexmcfarland.com. There's a form to fill out, and we try to get to those just very expeditiously on a first-come, first-served basis. And, you know, I'm so blessed. I just, as this year draws to a close, and Lord willing, we'll have a new year come, you know, Sunday. Jim, I am so indebted to AFR, and I know during Share-a-thon we often give praise reports, but, you know, the last 6.5, 7 years being on the Exploring the Word show has opened up just the entire North American continent. I mean, I get invitations. In fact, I'll be going to Canada. Some folks heard me on the radio up there. And I just want to say a big, sincere thank you to Tim Wildman and to you, Jim, for allowing me to be on the radio, because it's kind of, I'm on the road preaching. We see several thousand people accept Christ every year, mostly young people, which is wonderful. And then we do the radio every day, and so it's just become a huge part of who I am, and I'm so grateful for you, brother.
Well, God bless you. We're privileged to have you as part of the team. And when you think about that, and Alex, he goes to large churches, he goes to small churches. He just wants to be where the Lord wants him to be. I can assure you of that, and you'll find solid teaching when he's there as well.
I'll preach at the drop of a hat, and I'll drop the hat.
That's right. We're going to pick up at Philippians 3, starting at verse 1. And as we do this, there are a couple of things in here that as we go through it, I want to kind of point out, because Paul does some unique things in this. And when you look back at the chapters 1 and 2, then you see what he's talking about. But he says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you." So as we think about wrapping up this year and looking towards what we're going to do in 2017, beginning to make plans of what we're going to do in 2017, where Paul talks about writing the same things again to the folks there in Philippians and reiterating some of what he's already said in the letter. He said it's not a problem for him, and it's a safeguard for us. So you may say, "Well, I just read the Bible last year, so I don't have to do it again this year." Folks, that is a dangerous place to be, because you want to continually immerse yourself in the Word of God, don't they, Alex?
Exactly, exactly. And he says, look, I'm going to repeat these things. You know, preachers often, about midway through a sermon, they'll say, "Now as I conclude," and there's still 20 more minutes. You know, Paul sounds kind of like a preacher here. He's in chapter 3, and he says, "Finally."
Right.
It's almost like, as I'm wrapping up this letter. But he says in verse 2 of Philippians 3, "Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision," which is another way of saying those that really kind of mutilate the gospel by adding works to it. Okay, dogs oftentimes was a euphemism for Gentiles or those who, you know, didn't know the true God. Those that are evil workers, oftentimes people that appear to be outwardly religious, but, you know, they didn't really know God. But all in all, Paul is saying, look, cleave to Christ, the Lord, the Savior, the true gospel, and don't fall into the ditch over here of works or legalism or paganism or certainly immorality. So like a lot of good shepherds, I mean, he's wanting to leave his flock in good care, warning them what to avoid.
He is, and as he mentions in Galatians, the fifth chapter, if you look back at that, then you notice there where he talks about, you know, staying away from the dogs. There in Galatians 5, he talks about the fact that if we continually fight against each other, if we continually bite each other, if we continually have biting remarks towards each other, then we're simply going to tear ourselves apart. Now, we're promised in the Scripture that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. But folks, when we bring hell in with us, when we bring in our own backbiting, then we destroy ourselves from within. And sometimes we're our own worst enemy. And so where, as Alex said, where it says, trust in Christ, you know, as in verse 3, it says, we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and in the glory of Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. We aren't just to rely on our own strength, and we're not supposed to rely on our own boastfulness, are we, Alex?
No. In verse 4 of Philippians 3, he says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, he's saying, look, if anybody could have confidence in their religious pedigree, it could have been Paul. I mean, he had the right education. He was a high-ranking Jewish leader. But he says, you know, I'm not trusting in the flesh. I'm trusting in Christ. And friend, you might oftentimes in our mind we think, well, you know, I'm a pretty good person. I've never done really the bad stuff. I've never robbed a bank or whatever. But look, apart from the righteousness of Christ, none of us could stand before God. Paul goes through and he gives sort of his resume: circumcised the eighth day, the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. In other words, he was dedicated. He was a law keeper.
Right.
He was invested. A Pharisee. And how zealous? Well, he persecuted the church. And verse 6 talks about the righteousness of the law. he had kept. But you know what, Jim? The righteousness of outward formality is not the same as the righteousness of Jesus, is it?
That is absolutely true. And, you know, we may find ourselves, it's just like for us as Americans, we're law-abiding citizens for the most part. You know, we're not out rioting. We're not out shooting people or knifing people. And so we could say, you know, that, well, as far as American law, we can be found blameless, except maybe doing a little bit faster than the posted rectangular signs on the side of the road call for. You know, we could be found blameless. We could be like Paul there. But that's just, when you look back, and I like what he said back in chapter 2, Alex, where he talked about vain conceit, you know, that we do our empty conceit. Do nothing from selfishness, empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. And when we begin to apply those principles, then that brings us to what he says in verse 7, doesn't it?
Well, exactly. He says, what things were gained to me, those things I counted loss for Christ. Here's the thing. Oftentimes we go down a path and we get so far down the road or so many years go by that it's more and more difficult to change. You know, Jim, it was my privilege. Oh, my goodness, what a privilege. When I was at Liberty University 25 years ago, I took personal evangelism under a man named Bill Bright, the founder of Campus Crusade. And, you know, his son, Brad Bright, who's a very dear brother, later told me, as far as he knew, that was the last time Bill Bright taught a college course. It was about 89 or 90. So very privileged. Bill Bright taught personal evangelism at Liberty, and I was one of his students. But he said this. He said, the vast majority of people come to Christ before, you know, their early 20s. And if you haven't accepted Christ by the time you're, you know, about 22, 23, the odds go down that you ever will. And that's why we beg of you, if you have never been saved, to put your faith in Jesus today. But, you know, Paul said here, he said, all these things, my religious pedigree and all this good works I tried to pursue, he said, it was dust and dung. It's nothing compared to the riches of Jesus. I think for a lot of people, it's hard to come to that point of realization that, you know, apart from Christ, I'm destitute. Apart from Christ, I have nothing. For a lot of people, that's a tough admonition to make, isn't it?
It is. Well, because we let ourselves get in the way of it. Again, when we think about how we're closing out 2016, we want to talk about all the good things we've done. We want to talk about the battles we've fought and won. We don't want to talk about the battles that we fought and lost. You know, we want to just kind of move those aside. We don't want to talk about our mistakes. But sometimes it's in our mistakes that if we're willing to be like Paul here and say, hey, you know, I did all of this and I did it well. But you know what? None of that matters if I look at what it means to be a servant of Christ. And then, you know, Paul, it kind of came full circle where he became a prisoner of Christ. And so it's one of those things that we need to look at whatever we've done in 2016, whatever we've done in the previous, for me, 55 years of my life, all of that has to be set aside. And I need to make sure my relationship with Christ is right for me, for my wife, for my family, that I am being the priest of the house that I need to be, and then so that I can know that I'm where I need to be in Christ.
Amen. Amen. You know, it was my privilege a few months ago to go up to a place called Attica, Indiana. Some listeners invited me up to preach, and so I was getting ready to preach, and I was walking around the cemetery, and they had some very, very old tombstones, and there was a guy there, maybe it was the oldest tombstone from the 1800s, and it says, he died in the service of his Redeemer. And, you know, friend, that's all the epitaph that any of us could ever hope for,
right?
Is that we belong to the Redeemer, the Savior. And, you know, it's fine to, you know, accomplish things, earn a degree, get that job, you know, all those things that we like to feel like are accomplishments. But my friend, if you don't have Jesus as your Savior, your personal relationship with Christ, you really don't have anything.
Right.
Jim, we hear about these celebrities that, you know, they win a Grammy or they win, you know, an award, or they're famous or they're on a magazine cover. That's fine. But if you don't have Jesus Christ for eternity, you're destitute, really.
Well, and it's one of those things that I have a problem with, where someone famous dies. Well, they're in a better place. They're better.
We don't know that for sure.
No, we don't. Now, we would like to think that they are, but we don't. We're not assured of that. But it's one of those things, and so, you know, you have to be careful when you're preaching funerals, because if it's someone that you're not familiar with, if it's someone you don't know their testimony, then you don't want to be the one that says something bad about the person. But folks, you can know now for sure where you will spend eternity. And verse 10, as we're looking at the scripture here today, it says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, being the death of Christ, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead.
Mm. And, you know, I'm so glad you alluded to verse 10, because Paul has said, he said, look, all my good works, it really didn't amount to anything. And in verse 9, he said, I don't have my own righteousness, mm-hmm. but I have the righteousness of Christ, which comes through faith, that I may know him. In other words, the most valuable thing in his whole life is his relationship with Christ and the power of his resurrection. Now, one day, if you're a believer, you're going to experience the power of his resurrection. But along this journey of life, as wonderful as life is, and life is wonderful, but there's also the fellowship of his sufferings. One of the beautiful things about the Christian faith is that there is purpose in your pain. Somebody listening now might say, you know, Alex, I'm going through a deep valley, and life is tough, life's not fair, a lot of sadness, a lot of hardness, a lot of sorrow, maybe. But you know what, friend? Here's the deal. You walk that path, God will carry you along, God will strengthen you, you'll understand how faithful God is. The path you walk, one day you're going to be rewarded in heaven as a Christian. And so, Jim, I'm excited in that, yes, we have salvation, but even though life can throw some pretty hard circumstances our way sometimes, for the Christian, there's even purpose and progress sometimes in the pain.
Amen. There is, and it's part of what we walk through. And when we look at verse 12, it says, not that I have already obtained it, it being the resurrection from the dead, or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, and this, Alex, for me, this is the money verse, and I don't know why I come to this passage almost every year, but I do. And it says, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, we press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I'm going to come back and let Alex kind of unpack that a little bit, and we'll take your phone calls at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Exploring the Word continues on American Family Radio.
What do you think needs to happen before our nation experiences revival? I believe until we have a proper view of God, we'll never have a proper view of ourselves. When we see God in all of His holiness and His purity and His righteousness and His power and all of His love and His compassion and mercy of grace, then we'll see how needy we really are in light of who He is. I believe America needs to return to a proper view of God. And when it does, we'll see a proper view of how needy we are. And like David, would say over and over again, I'm poor and needy. And that's the posture God looks down upon and says, I can revive those hearts, those people. I'm Byron Paulus, Executive Director of Life Action Ministries and founder of OneCry.com.
There's a lot happening around us. That's why Christians need to stand strong on family values and morality. Hi, I'm Ray Rooney, editor of The Stand, a blog from the American Family Association. The Stand has timely, carefully written articles on relevant cultural issues that you can quickly forward to others. The Stand is a beacon of light to a society in need of direction. Visit afa.net/the stand.
Sandy Rios in the morning.
This is a time of madness. It really is. This is from the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby. He said, evil attacks the weakest, denies truth and love, is defeated through Jesus Christ. And I just love that. Evil is defeated through Jesus Christ. And so let's not be afraid. And if you are afraid, then, you know, make yourself right with God.
Sandy Rios in the morning. Weekday mornings at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. So much around the world should bring us to tears, but where are our tears? The devastation and destruction in Aleppo, Syria, the raping and pillaging taking place across Germany, the division and hatred that has become commonplace in America, and even the apathy of the American church. All these things should bring us to tears, but where are our tears? This is a time for all true believers to examine our own hearts. God help us. We are so hard-hearted, as Spurgeon says, hard as marble. I fear for America. This election, though it may give a reprieve, will only be a short-term reprieve if many of us don't turn or return to God, our only hope. We need true repentance. We desperately need repentance, and most of us don't know how to get there. May God help us. This is a Decency Minute, an outreach broadcast of the American Decency Association based in Fremont, Michigan. I'm Bill Johnson.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert. You're listening to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
The Word was, the Word is, and the Word will be.
Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, says Paul in Philippians 3:13, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before. Verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You're listening to Exploring the Word. I'm going to give the number because Jim Stanley and I are going to take your Bible questions here in just a moment. It's 888-589-8840. Jim, you know, when we get to the new year and we turn the calendar and good Lord willing, we have a new year, a lot of times we think about things like this, don't we? We think about sort of trying to make a fresh start. And, we can't in and of ourselves, in our human strength, we can't change our character or we can't change the human heart physically. But God can change us, and it is a good time. It's always a good time to rededicate ourselves to the Lord and just give ourselves to God afresh and anew, isn't it?
It is. And Alex, you know that one of the Bibles that I enjoy studying with is The Message, which is a commentary on God's Word. And where it looks at those same scriptures there, it says, I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have made it. But I am well on my way, reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. You know, when we think of that, and we think of the picture that Paul writes there, and then the way that it's presented there in The Message, it's a very vivid picture, you know, and sometimes when we some of the language, it can be almost a little bit of a riddle, and it's not meant to be, but it's just the way that the writers wrote then. And so it's not something we've already gotten, but it's something that we're looking forward to, isn't it?
It is. It is. And, you know, before the break, you read 12 and 13, mm-hmm. and he says, you know, not that I've already obtained all this or have become perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of right. that for which I also was laid hold of.
Right.
It's almost like saying this, to fully become Christ-like, to become fully conformed to the image of Jesus, I'm not there yet. So I haven't laid hold of my resurrected body
Amen.
Yet, but God has certainly laid hold of me, you know?
Yeah, and he's cheering us on.
Yes. And, you know, the old thing that I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow.
Amen.
I mean, that's not just a cliche. That's not just some little trite saying. I mean, it really is true. And, Jim, I find it very liberating. You know, I don't have to be the general manager of the universe anymore.
Amen.
Because God's got it. I can sleep well at night knowing that he who keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps.
Amen.
He's never going to leave me or forsake me. And all of my sin was dropped in the depths of the sea. And, you know, hey, good times, bad times, all times, God has me in the palm of his hand.
Amen. That's good stuff. Well, folks, we're gonna kind of put a pin in it right there. And tomorrow we'll pick up at verse 15. We're going to go back, though, because I know Alex has some good stuff to share with us from verses 13 and 14. And so we want to kind of keep it all in order. We want to keep it in its context, and we don't want to lift anything out. So we appreciate your calls at 888-589-8840. And we're going to talk to Shirley. Shirley calling from Mississippi. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you. I love it. I've listened to it since it began, and once in a while I have to miss it, but I try not to. I just had a question that I hear often, and it's a term called the doctrines of grace. Now, I don't see that in the Bible as that. I see the things that they refer to as those in the Bible, but can you enlighten me on that, Sam?
Great question.
Shirley, we're going to do that. We're going to let you listen to your radio so that you'll be able to hear us better than maybe just on your phone. But, you know, Alex, says that's one of those questions there that really will kind of, it's one of the things the enemy tries to use to confuse people. But it's not, because even what we've talked about today is in reference to the, you know, to that quote-unquote doctrine of grace, because it's through the faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God. It's only because of him and because of his grace that we have the opportunity to partake of that, isn't it?
It is. It is. And, you know, I want to be very careful how I say what I say. Salvation, all true believers agree, Jesus, the Son of God, shed his blood on the cross. The punishment that we deserved was poured on Jesus. Mm-hmm. He died, he rose from the grave, and through Jesus and Jesus alone, we have forgiveness and new life. On that we all agree. Now, within the church, within the group of true believers, there's, you know, different camps that, you know, focus in on different things. And when you hear the phrase the doctrines of grace, there are certain segments of the body of Christ that really camp out on things like the fact that there's predestination. And by the way, really, in a New Testament sense, predestination means that we are, if you're a born-again believer, you're predestined to be ultimately conformed to the image of Christ. But let me just say this. Grace, the word charis, grace means gift. And salvation is a gift, of course, and we receive that free gift that Jesus paid for. But when you're talking about the doctrines of grace, I don't want to say too much because I don't want to drive a wedge between any groups. But you're pretty much talking about election. You're talking about the perseverance of the saints. And Jim, as you can imagine, there's weeks of radio we could create on any of these. Eternal security, you're talking about election, and some believe in different theories of election. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say this. For by grace are we saved through faith, mm-hmm. not of works,
right.
but It's all God's free gift. And so grace is something we all agree on. I quoted 2 Corinthians 8, verses 9, the grace of Jesus, the mercy, the gift of God is salvation. And I think that's what we need to, we all agree that if we're saved, it's by God's mercy and grace, not any works that we did.
Amen, because if it were based on us, then we would want to take the credit and the glory. Whereas even Christ, as we read earlier in the program, Christ himself did not consider it anything to be equal with God, but he laid all of that aside so that he could come and pay the price for that grace and pay the price for our salvation. Let's talk to Steve now, calling from Arkansas. Steve, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you very much. I was just going to call and talk about a person I think is fairly dangerous to Christians, especially new Christians. His name is Neil Donald Walsh, and he says great things about Christ, says he is the Son of God, he is holy, but then in the next sentence, he'll say, we're all the sons and daughters of God. And
Steve, I'm not familiar with Neil Donald Walsh, and that's something that we would have to take time and look at, because again, you know, it's one of those things, there are a lot of folks in a lot of different camps. And so, Alex, are you familiar? And Steve, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate it. Alex, are you familiar with that gentleman?
You know, I'm not. I've got to confess ignorance here. Prior to this call, I've never heard of him. But I'll tell you what we'll do. We will look into him and see. And you know, let me just say this. Bert and I, nor Jim, we don't set ourselves up as, you know, the litmus test for spirituality. Mm-mm. But what we do on Exploring the Word, and AFA certainly stands for this, is what we would say are the core classical orthodox truths that all true Christians have agreed on for 2,000 years. And I want you to know, when we, because sometimes we do, we call out teachers that are false teachers. We like to recommend teachers that are good teachers. But I want you to know, it's not that we're up on our high horse that we think we're the ultimate authority on anything, but the Word of God, the Bible, is the authority. And there is, Jim, within Christianity, there are certain things that the true church has agreed on for two millennia, and that's what we measure with, not any one of our own opinions, but what is biblical truth that has stood the test of time. So what we'll do, friend, we'll look into this and get back so that we give you an informed response.
Amen. And folks, if you have any questions about stuff like that, feel free to send that to us to word@afr.net. That's word@afr.net. And Alex or Bert or myself will get back to you. I can promise you that the better answers are going to come from Bert or Alex, but I'll do my best to take one for the home team as well. So
don't sell yourself short.
Well, you're very kind. But it's one of those things that if we don't know the person, then we're not going to take and just condemn them out of hand. Because sometimes, Alex, and you know this as well as I do, you know, churches have split over whether or not Adam had a belly button because somebody put a picture of Adam up in the sanctuary with a belly button. And so hopefully not. That's a tongue-in-cheek response. But we know that sometimes there are folks that have disagreement with other folks and they want to call them out. Well, Seth's calling from Alabama this afternoon. Seth, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you taking my call. Hope you guys had a great Christmas. I have a question about John chapter 6, verse 37. It kind of piggybacks the questions that's been asked about the doctrines of grace. It says there that those that the Father gives to me will come to me, and I will in no wise cast out. I was going to ask, who exactly is being given to the Father, or given to the Son there?
That's a great question, because, you know, I think that all of Scripture we need to look at, you know, we let Scripture interpret Scripture. Let me say what I think it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean, I believe, that Christ died only for the elect. One of the doctrines that some people believe, and I'm not saying this is they're not Christians, but I don't agree with it. I don't agree with the doctrine of limited atonement, mm-hmm. that Christ only died for the elect. And some would read John 6, you know, and by the way, John 6 is a great chapter, but he's talking about that he is the bread who came down from heaven, and he says, I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger again. And he says, all the Father gives me will come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. So, I mean, on the one hand, you could take, if you only took the first half of John 6, 37, you might think, oh, okay, wow, there's, you know, salvation is only for the elect, because all the Father gives me will come to me. But you take the second half, whoever comes to me I will in no wise cast out. So I definitely believe in the whosoever will may come. Okay, what is this meaning? That if someone comes to Christ in repentance and faith, they will be saved. And all who did that were ones that the Father gave him. That Jesus Christ died for the sins of the mm-hmm. world. Here's the deal. His death and resurrection make it possible. Our response to the overtures of the Holy Spirit make it actual.
Yeah. And even when you look at verse 40 there in John 6, it says, and this is the will of him, being the Father, who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at that last day. So mm-hmm. I think it's one of the things there, Alex, just like you said, that it's about those that come to Christ, because if not, then the scripture would be an error where it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Hey, Seth, great question. Appreciate your calling this afternoon. We're going to try and work Maria in real quick. Maria, I apologize. We're coming up on the end of the show, but go ahead and ask your question, please, ma'am.
Okay, I might have two, but I won't take them too long. I want to know if, first of all, I'm illiterate and I can't read, and I'd like to know if Alex, does he read the Bible on tapes or CDs? And I wonder how I could get some. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, do y'all have any pictures?
Yeah, all right, Maria, I tell you what. Stay on the line, okay? I'm going to put you on hold. And you stay on the line, and we're going to try and help you get some resources. Now, I don't want to answer for Alex, but I don't know that he has done an audio Bible himself. Mm-hmm. But we can find one and try and help you with that. So stay on the line, and our call screener, Cedra, is going to talk to you and get your address and everything so that we can try and get you some help, okay?
Okay.
All right. God bless you, and thanks for calling. You know, Alex, so often we take even the simplest thing for granted, and that's one of them. But isn't it good to know that folks they want to know about Christ so bad, they don't mind admitting their weaknesses, and they want to learn more?
Bless you, sister. I am just so thrilled that you would listen to the show, and I just want to say we love you, and we're rooting for you. I've not done a Bible on tape, but you know what, Jim? We've got a friend named Tim Todd. And do you remember with the Truth for Youth mm-hmm. Bibles, and there's a Bible stick that there's a recording of the Bible on a flash drive. And I know we've helped get a lot of those to the soldiers.
Oh, yeah, the military Bible stick.
You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
So, I know there are great recordings of the Bible. I did do an audio book of one of my books, but I've not done the Bible. But we are so glad you listen to the show, and you and all who do, and we thank the Lord for you.
Amen. Well, folks, thanks for listening this afternoon. I'm Jim Stanley, along with Dr. Alex McFarland. By the way, you can check out Alex's resources, including the audiobook, at alexmcfarland.com, alexmcfarland.com. And join us again tomorrow afternoon at 3 Central as we explore the Word in Philippians, the 3rd chapter.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family.